Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Emma.
If you love the Dead Parent Club podcast, you can help support its future using the Acast supporter feature.
Now, it's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment. So if you can and you want to, please do hit the link in the show description to support now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, you're listening to the DPC podcast, the podcast where we talk about all things Dead Parent, the good, the bad, and the banter, hosted by
Sam
and Kat.
Thank you so, so much. I so appreciate this.
No problem. It's an honour.
We're so excited. So how did you find out about the podcast?
Oh my gosh, you know, I was actually thinking about that. I was trying to remember. I'm not sure. I don't know if I found you guys through a tag. I think It may have been through a tag of some, like a hashtag of some sort. But yeah, I was actually trying to think of that and I couldn't remember, but most likely through some kind of hashtag.
Yeah, the power of Instagram.
Yes, it's just such a great community.
Oh my god!
So many different people.
We've been so shocked.
I'm loving talking to people from literally like all over the world. So cool.
This is wonderful. You guys have been doing the podcast for how long now?
October.
September.
Yeah. Oh, coming up to a year already. Wow.
Oh my gosh! It will be, won't it? Before we knew it.
Because I've been in Australia for 8 months and we started doing it before I came to Australia. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So you live in Australia right now?
I've just been here. I'm here for the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just doing my working holiday. Living the dream.
And we thought, before she went, we were like, we need to do something with, like, everything that we talk about our dead parents. So we were like, oh, let's start a podcast and we can do it when you're in Australia.
Like, and you guys made it work.
Yeah, we
so
are.
Far, yeah, we have somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Oh. It's an important topic.
It totally is. So tell us more about you then. So, like, how old are you? Where do you work? Just tell us your story.
Sure. So let's see, my age. So I'm 35. I work in, I don't want to say the company, it's a well-known company, but it's for in the online digital publishing world.
Okay, cool.
A major healthcare digital website here. And so I'm a senior editor for them.
Wow.
And then on the side, I'm also an author. So I have a memoir that I released last year. I have my second one being released now in the summer. And my third one that I just started working on is actually going to be about grief. So that one I just started. And yeah, so I do quite a few things. And then I also, I'm a facilitator for a survivors of suicide support group here in Atlanta.
Wow.
So I do that on a volunteer basis and I help lead a group once a month. And yeah, I just have, unfortunately, quite a bit of experience in this club that nobody wants to be part of. Mm. And in terms of the grief loss, I have lost both my parents. And I'm an only child. And yes, I've lost both my parents. I lost my mom 7 years ago next month. No, it's been already. So 7 years ago this month. And my father, I lost a year ago, last March.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry.
So, yeah. So, and then there's somebody else I cared about who I lost to suicide. So I've had quite my share of grief in this lifetime.
Yeah. What happened with your parents?
Yeah. So with my mother, my mother passed away due to complications of diabetes type 1. So she had juvenile diabetes ever since she was very young. And she had been in and out of the hospital most of her life. So it was nothing out of the ordinary. And then just things took a turn towards the end. And then she passed away. And my father, he had the C word. I don't like to say it because I don't like to give it life or energy. I just don't say the word. But yeah, he had the C word. And my father was just such a warrior and a hero because he was given statistically 2 years maximum. And he was with us for 9 years. So my father is the ultimate example of mind over matter.
That is amazing. So
were you all thinking that every single year could have been his last year then for those 7 years?
That's a good question. Yes and no. I mean, I think as human beings, we always have a little bit of fear, but knowing who my father was, I always knew if there was somebody who was going to beat this and overcome this, it was my dad. Mm-hmm. And in my eyes, he did. So I, like, for example, personally, I don't even like it when people say so-and-so lost their battle too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like that phrase because didn't lose their battle. They won their battle. You know, they fought their battle, they kept their head held high, and they went in full force, you know? So in my mind, my father won his battle. I mean, even against all the statistics and the odds. And so I thought my father was somebody I really believed he was going to live well into his 90s. Because that was just the kind of person he was. He was very spiritually grounded. He was very strong. Early on, when he found out, I remember years ago, when he first got the diagnosis, one of the first things he did is he removed anybody from his life who pitied him. And one time we had a conversation about that, and he explained, like, he said, you know, daughter, because he would call me daughter in Portuguese, filha, and he would say, daughter, the last thing I need is somebody to throw me a pity party. I don't need people to feel sorry for me when I've got this and I'm going to overcome this, you know, and it's in control. And so that was one of the first things he did. Is he removed any person from his life that was going to feel sorry for him, look down at him, or just have a poor you attitude.
He sounds like a really strong guy.
Yeah.
So, Myra, I'm guessing your dad was getting treatment for his cancer at the same time as your mum was really poorly then.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So my father, let me try to remember the time frame. He was undergoing treatment when my mother was still here. Yes, he was undergoing treatment at the time. Yes.
So how was that for you then? Because, like, I think having two parents that are so unwell must have been really stressful.
Well, you know, at the time, I wasn't stressed out about my dad because, like I said, my dad was such a warrior man. He was such an example. So I wasn't concerned about my father. Because even though he was undergoing treatment, but everything was under control. my father was the kind of person that if you met him in person, you wouldn't think anything. You would think he was perfectly fine. My mother at the time was the one that I was concerned about because she was very frail. And also just because her mentality and her attitude and her way of being was very different from my father's. My father was very much an optimistic person, whereas my mother was pessimistic. So my father would always look at the glass as half full, whereas my mother would look at the glass as half empty. So I wasn't at the time feeling like I had to be concerned about two parents. I was concerned about my mom, but I was not concerned about my dad at the time at all.
Yeah. How old were you when your mom died?
I was 28. I was 28 years old, and it happened. It kind of happened unexpectedly with both my parents. A very interesting detail with both my parents is that I just so happened to be with them on the very last day without realizing it was going to be their last day. So that was, it's a blessing that I can say I was literally with both my parents the day they passed away. And yeah, so with my mom, I was 28. And as I'm sure you guys understand, I always view my life as there was my life before my mother passed away and then after my mother passed away. And there's this two huge distinctions and two huge shifts.
Yeah, like completely different people.
Exactly. Completely different people. So with my mother, when she passed away and it was my first experience with major grief, that really shook me. I mean, I had experienced grief before in terms of losing grandparents, but my mother was the person that was like closest, you know, to me that really impacted me greatly. And so when she passed away and I was 28, it shook my world. And I wasn't a child, but still, even at the age of 28, I felt like I was so young. There was only one other person at the time that I knew who had lost their parent, and it was my best friend. But everybody else around me had their parents. Mm. So I felt like I was this, you know, odd duckling. And that was very hard for me to deal with, knowing. And I hate to say this, but at the time, I really had some kind of resentment towards everybody else who still had their parents. And here I was at 28. And yes, I was an adult. I was a full grown adult. But whether you're 28, whether you're 35, you're 40 or 50, you never stop needing your parents.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know what age this happens, but even still into your late 20s, people still assume that you have both parents. Like, I don't know what age people stop assuming that you have both parents, but it still happens, because I suppose like most people do.
Yeah.
At those ages, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I do hear quite a bit. Some people will tell me, wow, you've lost both your parents, and they're just kind of amazed and in shock. And you know, yes, I'm in my 30s and I've lost both my parents, but at the same time, it's not like I'm a 5-year-old child. It's, you know, I'm 35. Like, it's not like I'm 5 years old and lost my parents. And, you know, it's the life cycle, you just never know when it's going to begin, when it's going to end, and how it will affect you.
I think a part of our mission is making people more aware of the fact that you have to be like, we're trying to make people more aware that not everybody has got both of their parents, and to approach the subject more kind of openly and sensitively, I suppose, and make it less of a taboo, you know?
I agree 100%, because I do feel it's still taboo. One of the things that I've seen in my experience and in talking to other people, one thing that bothers me and I know hurts other people who are part of this grief loss community is when you lose your parents or when you lose your loved one, people just don't ask you about them. Mm-hmm. So unless you make the effort to keep their memory alive, you personally, if you don't make that effort, it's almost as if they fizzle away. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I wish people understood better, those who have not experienced grief loss, is that we want to be asked about our loved ones.
Exactly.
We want to be asked about our parents. I mean, they are a huge part of our lives. And I understand sometimes people may feel, well, if I ask, I may be opening up a can of worms. But that's not the case. You're not going to say anything to me that I don't already know. Like, my parents not here. Like, you're not going to be bringing this new idea to me. The opposite. It's actually comforting if somebody takes the time to ask, you know, about your loved one, your parent, and just ask about them as a person, or ask about a particular memory or a particular experience. That's what I wish people understood better.
I love the bit that you said about like, it kind of gets left up to us to keep that person's memory alive, because it's so true. If we, like, I think in my day-to-day life, if I never brought my mum up, it would honestly be like she never existed, especially like with my friends and at work. I could probably go weeks without talking about her, which is really freaky.
Yes, exactly. And do you feel like you need to talk about her and bring her up?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's like, well, Sam always says, I would tell you this story if my dad was alive, so why would I not tell you this story now just because he's dead?
Mm. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, that's literally one thing that people, because people always ask us, right, what do you say to someone? How do I approach a subject? And I'm like, just ask them about their parent. Like, everyone wants to be able to talk about them, and people often are scared to bring, I mean, I don't think I could say it any better than how you just said it, Myra, but people are often, they either like don't want to upset us, or they feel awkward or whatever, but literally just asking them about their parent, just even if it's just like, oh, tell me about them, tell me about your mum, tell me about your dad. And even like, for example, we have a friend whose dad died 6 years ago, and I've only just become friends with her this year. And I asked her what her dad's name was. And some of her friends that have been friends with her for years didn't know what her dad's name was because they'd never asked her.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Yeah. So it's even just small things like that, like, make such a huge difference.
It does. And it can be brought up in casual conversation. I don't think it's something where you need to overthink it or set some rules or, okay, I'll approach in this situation, I'll bring it up. Like, it can be very casual conversation. It's not going to make your friend or the person you're speaking to all of a sudden go into a deep depression or anything like that. You know, if anything, they're going to be grateful that you took the moment to ask, because we do want to keep their memory alive, and it's a way we can honor that.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. It's so true. So how are you like navigating life now without either your mum or your dad? Like, I don't know, I can only imagine, because, you know, those moments where everyone says like, oh, I'll just ask my mum or my dad. Like, who do you go to now for support?
Absolutely. Well, it's been different. So losing my mother was very different from losing my dad. They were two completely different grief experiences, which was something that even surprised me. So when I lost my mother, I was always daddy's little girl growing up. Me and my dad were super, super close. You know, my dad was my go-to person. He was my best friend. My mother and I, we had a bit of a rocky relationship. When she passed away, we were fine, but we had a bit of a rocky relationship when I was growing up. So when my mother passed away, I had my father. So that really helped me tremendously with my healing. I could talk to my dad at any time of day and he would listen. And my parents were divorced. They had been divorced since I was 11 years old. But still, my dad was always there for me, regardless. So I was able to go to him and that helped a lot. And my dad was so instrumental that I would say it wasn't even so much after my mother passed away that I had these, you know, very insightful, valuable moments, but they actually came before she passed away. Because before she passed away, like I said, my mother was the kind of person who was very pessimistic and I dare say even bitter. And my father would always say, whatever you do, show her love. Whatever you do, show her love. And so that always stayed with me. So I always showed my mother love up until the very end, because I never wanted to live with any kind of guilt. And that was very important for me. So when she passed away, I had my father to lean on, and I had my one best friend who had lost her mother too. And she was the only friend at the time that I had who had also lost their parents. So I had her to lean on, and she was actually with me the day that I found out that my mother had passed. When I got the call from the hospital, she was with me. So it was almost as if God was working in mysterious ways and making sure that I wasn't alone in that moment. So I had my father after my mother passed away, in order of having a person to turn to. When my dad died, it was different. So when my dad died, I was already in Atlanta. And so I didn't have that kind of community set up around me. So initially, I had my best friend in Florida that I could turn to. And I have another friend here who also has lost both her parents that I met after I moved to Atlanta. So I was able to turn to her. But not many people, and to be quite honest, the people that I felt like I could really turn to were the very few people who themselves had experienced grief loss. But it was a very small circle, because even to this day, the only people I really know who've lost their parents is there's my best friend in Florida. She's lost her mom. And I have a best friend here in Georgia who I met after I moved, and she's lost both her parents. So I could turn to them and rely on them. And aside from that, I would say I have these friends. They're an older couple, and I've dubbed them my adopted parents because they've been amazing in my life since I moved to Georgia. And so I can certainly count on them as well. And they've been really instrumental, but it's been a very small circle of people. And I think what's dangerous with that is in turn, we end up internalizing so much of our grief when we don't have an outlet or a community to turn to.
I couldn't agree with that more. Like, that's one of the reasons. Well, almost like the kind of the main reason why we wanted to start this podcast, because me and Kat knew how lucky we were to have each other. So when Kat's mum died, we were both living together and my dad had died the year before. So we had each other to kind of go through the grief together with, and we still continue to have each other. And we knew that we were so incredibly lucky to have that. And so we wanted to be able to help out those other people who don't have that. And it's surprising the amount of people that don't. Like, we didn't realize kind of how lucky we were.
Yeah, and you're so right about that. It is very surprising. When I speak to people around me and I realize how we just live in a world that's feel so isolated and so alone. whether we want to admit it or not. And especially with grief, as both of you know, when your parent dies, those first few weeks, everybody surrounds you, right? Everybody's there. Oh, I'm here. Anything you need, I got it. I'm here. And then that all disappears as the weeks go on, as the months go on. And then you feel like you can't talk about it, really, unless there's somebody else who's been there in your shoes. Just like it's been with both of you, you've been able to turn to each other. But it just, it becomes more difficult as time goes on for various reasons. There's so many misconceptions about grief. People think, you know, there's like a time stamp on grief, and after a certain point, you need to get over it. And that's not true at all. And so you end up coping with a lot of it on your own, unless you do have those valuable, true friends that you can turn to. And just like you, I mean, I have a couple that I can turn to, the ones, my friends who've also lost their parents. I mean, I know I can go to them at any time. If I'm having a moment, if I'm feeling sad, I can talk to them. But with the world at large, it's not the same. And you find yourself often kind of putting on a mask, so to speak, and pretending you're okay when you're really not okay. And it's just, you know, how the society around us is.
It's so true. And I feel like partly, like, we have to kind of like pretend to be okay every single day to be okay, you know? Because I think if you let yourself be consumed by your grief every day when you wake up in the morning, life is never going to be okay, you know? So we kind of have to trick ourselves, I think, every day. And we spoke about this in a podcast the other day where we said, I feel like it's only really at those key moments, like the milestones, like the year, the anniversary when somebody's died or on their birthdays, when you finally let that wall down and let yourself feel the grief and let yourself not be okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I find that even on, and in those days that you allow yourself not to be okay, and you're talking about those milestone dates, and even those milestone dates, it seems like people kind of forget about you as time goes on. I remember with you talking about this, it just came to my mind. The one day that was always so painful for me when it came to losing my mom and losing my dad, it wasn't so much their birthdays. It wasn't so much the day they died. I mean, the first year it was, obviously. But as time went on, the one day that was always the most painful to me was Mother's Day and Father's Day. Yeah. So when those days came around and you really feel it, I mean, those were the days that I really, my grief would certainly come to the surface. And those were the days where I felt so alone. And I started to do this thing where I would just shut off social media and not look at social media on those days, because it was just too much to get on social media and see everybody saying Happy Mother's Day, Happy Father's Day, and it's like hundreds of messages like that. And those kinds of things would get to be too much for me. And then, yeah, again, you just go back to then internalizing it and keeping it to yourself. But I will say this, something that has helped me, though, tremendously, aside from my couple of friends that I'm very close to, and this wasn't even with my parents' loss, but with the suicide loss that I had, I started going to a support group. And I started to realize how healing those support groups can be. And I know there are support groups for just general bereavement as well. And that has helped me tremendously to have this outlet where I can speak to other individuals, just like I'm speaking with you ladies right now, and I don't feel alone and I don't feel crazy. And you're all in the same boat. and all of your emotions are valid. And that has helped me a lot with my grief personally.
Yeah, again, it's the whole thing of being around people that understand what you've gone through. So like that's kind of like what the grief community is online. It's like one massive online support group, isn't it? There's just something so helpful about being surrounded by people who actually understand how you feel, and people you don't feel uncomfortable saying, I'm really pissed off that nobody around me is remembering that I'm grieving. And like, you can just say whatever you want freely, which I think is so helpful.
And I think you touched on an important point. You said it right there. Like, you don't have to feel uncomfortable, because I feel that's one of the issues we have in society when it comes to grief loss, is that society still teaches us like, okay, there's a time and place for this. Or if you talk about it too much, you're going to end up being an annoyance, or you're going to be a burden on somebody else. And so we just impose all these different things on ourselves. And then we say, okay, like, let me keep it to myself and not say anything. But in the end, we're actually doing more harm than good. So when we can find that community of people where you can let your guard down and just be real. I mean, I remember one time when after my father died, so my grief with my father was very different from my mother's, because since my mother's was my first major grief loss, I felt all these like quote unquote crazy emotions, and I was absolutely devastated because I didn't even know what grief was like, and it was my first time experiencing it. And then when my dad died, something that surprised me is, since I was daddy's little girl, I thought I was going to be weeping like a baby every single day, and I wasn't. And I was numb after my dad died, and that surprised me, and I was just numb. And I don't know if it was because I couldn't believe I was going through this again, or if it was because I was at peace knowing that me and my dad had such a good relationship. I don't know. But I remember one day I came home and I had just, you know, I was going about my days, just everything was quote unquote fine. And one day I came home and I had a very bad day that day at work. And I came home and I was crying. I don't remember about what exactly, but I was just crying, crying, crying. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to call my dad. And then as soon as that thought came to me immediately, as you ladies know, the second thought is, I can't immediately after. And then when that realization occurred to me, I just started bawling. It was the first time after my dad passed away that I just really wept. And I was just bawling my eyes out. And I was just so angry that I couldn't call my dad, and he was my go-to person. But then I called my best friend. I remember I calmed down a little bit and then called my best friend. And that's what's so wonderful about the community that understands and who's been there, is you can have those moments, and it doesn't matter what time of day it is, you can reach out and they're going to be there and they're going to listen and they're not going to judge you. Just like I was able to call my best friend spur of the moment, and she totally got it.
Honestly, like, I know that if I was having like a massive breakdown, I could call Sam and literally just be like crying down the phone and just say, I just feel like shit. And Sam would instantly understand. Whereas if I called any of my other friends, they'd be like, oh my God, what's wrong? What's wrong? Like,
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and you saying you can call Sam, it just gives you permission to be human. And I think that's something we need more of when it comes to grief loss, is we just need permission to be human. And the reminder that it's okay to not be okay. Whereas I think it's so easy for people to want to sweep it under the rug, or to want to change the subject. And that's not helping a person who's grieving. A lot of times it's not even about what you say. It's about just being present, just being there in that moment.
I think people always want to be able to help as well. They always say, like, what can I do? How are we going to make this better? What can I do? And it's like, well, there's nothing that you can do that's going to make it better other than just listening to me and being there. But I think people, they want to put a plaster on it, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And sometimes you just need somebody who's just going to sit beside you and just hold you through your tears. And I think for those people who don't know what to do, that's perfect. I think it's perfectly okay for somebody to say, hey, I don't know what to say to you right now. Like, I don't know how to help you, but you tell me how I can help you. It's okay to say, I don't know what to do. If you've never experienced it, of course you're not going to know what to do. That's a very valid thing to say. And so I don't think those people who say, I don't know what to do, I don't think they should be judged or reprimanded for that. But if you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, it's okay to say that too at the same time.
Totally agree. So on that note, what about your other friends that have not experienced that kind of loss? Did it change your relationship with them?
It did. I think I always say with grief loss, it can either make the relationships around you stronger or it can have the opposite effect and break them apart. And that's the mysterious thing about grief, is you never know which way it's really going to go until you experience it. So I've had both situations happen to me. I've had friendships that were strengthened, and I've had friendships that, I mean, I can think of people right now that I haven't spoken to since my dad died or since my mother died. And that was the last time I spoke to them. So I've experienced both. And with the ones who are no longer a part of my life, it is what it is. And I know currently I have the people in my life who are meant to be in my life.
What about when you're meeting new people? Because obviously you've now moved to Atlanta. Oh. So then you had to navigate meeting new people all over again and finding a new support group, which I bet must have been really quite difficult.
That's a great question. It's funny you asked that question. So, for example, I used to be the type of person where before, if I met somebody, one of my very first questions would always be to ask, oh, tell me about your family. And then after I experienced my own grief loss, I stopped doing that. Because I realized you never know. You never know the story or the hurt that's behind asking a question like that, the pain or the baggage. And I'm not even talking necessarily about grief loss. It could be you're asking somebody, you know, tell me about your family, and they come from a very dysfunctional or abusive family dynamic. You just never know. It can be a very heavy loaded question. And I used to ask it before thinking, oh, I'm asking a casual question. But when you think about it, it's not a casual question. There can be so many things behind it. So, yeah, when I meet people now, I always kind of, it's weird. I don't know if you ladies experience this. In a way, I don't want them to ask me about my family right away. But at the same time, I kind of do. So it's a little bit of both. I know that's contradictory, but I feel, I don't know, when I meet people now, if they ask me about my family, I'm just honest. You know, if they ask me, where's your mom, or what does your mom do for a living, or, you know, your dad, I'll just say I've lost my father. I don't, if they ask me a direct question, I'm not going to lie. So I don't lie about it. Yeah. But it's not something I bring into the conversation early on unless somebody else does it first, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah, because I think I'm not going to bring up conversation with them and be like, hey, so what do your parents do? Because my mum's dead and my dad's miserable.
you know.
And I don't know if you've experienced this, but something that I find very comical is whenever somebody will say, like, you know, how's your family, or ask a question. And I know whenever I immediately say, well, I don't have my parents anymore, you know, both my parents are deceased, I always wait to see for that moment of silence. It's immediately after. It's like these 5 seconds of silence. Like, they don't know what to say or how to respond. Yeah,
they're like, you can see them like desperately trying to read your face to be like, oh God, what do I say now? Oh,
yeah, and
God,
it's actually become like a funny thing for me to just,
yeah,
what's the reaction going to be, you know?
I'll tell you a quick story of I bought a necklace at the airport. I went to China recently and I landed back into London Heathrow. And I went to Tiffany's and I bought a necklace. It's just like, it's got a little love heart on it and it's got mum written on it. And it's from Tiffany's, but it wasn't really expensive. And as I was buying it, the woman behind the counter went, oh, are you buying this for your mum? And I said, oh, no, no. And she went, oh, goodness, like, you don't look old enough to be a mum. You look about 19. And I said, oh, no, it's not for me. My mum's dead, so I'm buying it for that. And the woman behind the counter was just like, oh my goodness. And then after that, she honestly just could not do enough for me. And it sounds awful, but I'm just like, you know what? Like, this is why you shouldn't just presume. Like, you should ask, oh, what's the reason why you're buying this? Not, oh, are you buying this for your mum? Like, you know, because it's a trigger, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's so funny.
This is so funny.
Yeah, no, but it absolutely can be. And yeah, we sometimes ask these questions without even thinking. And it became such an eye-opening moment for me, because I would ask those types of questions without even thinking before my parents died. Oh, and then after they died, it became such an eye-opening moment for me to realize, okay, you have to be a little bit more mindful and a little bit more sensitive, you know, when asking these questions.
So true.
I know, like, me and Kat often say as well how so often we like thrive in that awkwardness. Sometimes
so
it's
bad.
So funny that we just people. Love to do.
That's
it.
That's exactly it. It's just thriving in that awkwardness. Yeah, that it's. You just took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. And you're just like, and it sounds kind of weird to say, but it's a moment you kind of even look forward to.
Yeah,
you're literally because, like, sorry, right. Not sorry.
But I,
yeah, but then I think as well, I think with like us, the fact that we look forward to it is because we know that we can then like change the perception of that moment and yeah, that conversation. Mm-hmm. That like, and we can encourage more conversation from that.
Yes, exactly. I think you just nailed it. Absolutely. Yeah, it's just, you open up that conversation, you just open up that dialogue, and then you just see right away, okay, well, is this a person that can have this conversation with me? And if they can, great, wonderful, then let's continue. And if they can't, then it's unfortunate, you know, but you do want to kind of just like end any kind of taboo or whatever, like right away.
Yeah. Totally. So what was for you, I mean, if there has been any, like, what was like the most valuable thing that, or valuable or helpful thing that someone either said or did? You know, both after your mum died and after your dad died.
Oh, gosh, ladies. Well, I will reiterate what I said earlier, just because it was so valuable. And it wasn't after my mom died, but what my father had said before she died of whatever you do, show her love. That was so valuable because it really helped me not have any guilt when my mother passed away. And my last words to my mom were literally, I love you. And without realizing she was going to pass away. After my mom passed away, the one thing that comes immediately to mind that was so valuable was, I have a best friend of mine, Mike. So shout out to my best friend, Mike. And he was living in Idaho at the time, and I was in Miami. And at the time when my mother died, you know, I had friends and people I knew who said, oh, when is her memorial service? I want to go. I'm going to be there. And then when the memorial service came, they didn't show up. And I thought that was just so rude. And Mike, on the other hand, he was in Idaho. He got on the first plane to come down to my mother's memorial service. He was literally in Miami for 24 hours. And 24 hours later, he flew back to Idaho. And it was just such a moment of like, wow, I have all these other individuals who are geographically much closer to me than he is and are saying they're going to go to the memorial service, then they don't show up. And yet here I have this other person who is hundreds of miles away and on a whim, he's just taking time off work to come and be there for me for 24 hours. And so that was something that was so valuable to me that I remember after my mom died and him just being there for me in those 24 hours, he did more for me than a number of other people combined. You know, that were just like kind of half there, but not really. They were just kind of trying to do quote unquote their part, but not really there for me. So that sticks out in my mind after my mother passed. That was very valuable to me.
Literally showing up.
Because I find also with grief loss, I'm sure you ladies probably experienced this. Like somebody will say, oh, sorry for your loss, let's say on social media. And so in their mind, they then think, oh, I've done my part. You know, I gave her the one sentence of sorry for your loss. So I've done my part. I can wipe my hands clean. But somebody who, like my friend Mike, who actually showed up. And I always go back to this quote about friendship that says, friendship is not about being there when it's convenient. It's about being there when it's inconvenient. And Mike was the total example of that. So when I think about my mom's passing, that certainly comes to mind. When I think about my dad, with my dad, it was different. Because like I said, I had only been in Atlanta for a year, so I didn't have like my community set up here yet. So with my dad, it wasn't something initially, but the older couple that I've mentioned, who I've now dubbed my adopted parents, they embraced me. They just really surrounded me and constantly checked in on me. And that was so important to me because, as you know, ladies, when you are in the deep pits of your grief, sometimes you don't even have it in you to reach out to anybody and you're just mourning alone.
Yeah.
And you need somebody to hear you in your silence, to recognize that silence of like, okay, maybe we need to check in. And they did. And they would constantly just check in and say, how are you doing today? Sometimes they wouldn't even say, how are you doing today? Sometimes they would say, how are you doing in this moment?
Oh, I love that.
And love that made all the difference to me. Because when you're grieving, sometimes it's just moment to moment, second to second, minute to minute, it changes. And so that was very special for me. The fact that they were consistently checking in. And not just checking in, but instead of just asking a why generic question of like, how are you? You know, how you been doing? They were like, no. How are you in this moment? That really helped.
Yeah, they sound amazing. Sam and I know all too well how one second you can be fine, the next second you're crying in bathroom toilets, right, Sam?
Oh, great. Yeah, preach it. E.g. last Friday. On the day after, on the Saturday, when you can literally be having the best time, in, like, I was at a bar last week having the best time, went up to the bar to order an espresso martini, just started crying, had to go home. I was like, literally, what happened?
Yeah, and that's the thing about grief too, that I don't know if a lot of people realize this, and it, you know, I've been talking a little bit about misconceptions, and I think it's another misconception is that those who haven't experienced grief, they think it's a linear thing when it's not. Grief comes in waves. You can be going A to B, B to C, C to D, and next thing you know, you go from D back to A, just like that.
Yeah.
And that's how grief is. Grief will catch you by surprise, just like it surfaced for you at the bar. And that is so natural. You'll have these moments where it'll just be a trigger. Like, you'll have a very subtle reminder of something that maybe your mom liked or something that your dad liked, or you will smell something that reminds you of them. And that just becomes a trigger. And next thing you know, you know, the floodgates of your tears just open. And that's just grief. That's just how it is. It's ongoing. You never get over it. I think one time somebody described grief to me in such a beautiful way. They said that grief is a souvenir of love. And those who don't really understand grief, they simply haven't lost a piece of their heart. Because when you lose a piece of your heart, then that grief stays with you forever. You don't get over it, but you do find ways to move forward with it.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Love that. So true.
Love that. It's like a few people have said, someone said to me actually last week when I was in that kind of state that I was in last week, they were like, this, it's amazing that you feel this way because it shows to me how much you, how much love you had for your dad and still have for him. Like, it is literally, you are just showing your love right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's such a, it's such a representation of, you know, the love you, you have for your dad and you just have for your parents. I mean, I remember one of the things when I lost my mother, one of the very first things that I felt, I don't know if you ladies experienced this, but I felt so empty. And it was the first time that I felt as if a part of me was actually missing. And it was just such, such emptiness that started to like eat away at me in the beginning. But then, you know, as time went on, just like the love I had for my mom and the love I had for my dad and still do, it started kind of filling in those gaps, you know? And so that love is what gave me the strength to move forward.
I still get that a lot now. I think it's one of the scarier parts of grief is that feeling of like literally like nothingness, of just feeling so sad that you don't feel anything. I think it's one of the worst parts when you're just kind of walking around and just being like, I don't feel like I'm capable of feeling anything anymore because I'm just so hurt.
Because you feel hollow. It's just, it's the sensation of just feeling hollow, like somebody just came in and tore this crucial part of you and just ripped it out from you. And when we, when our lives are so defined by our parents who have loved us and supported us and nurtured us and just raised us. And then that's all of a sudden gone. It's very hard. It certainly is very painful. I remember with both my parents, I remember thinking, my goodness, am I ever going to experience unconditional love again? Because I thought, you know, my parents were the two human beings who loved me unconditionally. And I knew that for a fact. And that was taken away. And to have that thought of, wow, maybe I'm never going to experience unconditional love again. Like, that was very painful. And there's no other way around it. I mean, grief is painful. We understand it's part of the quote unquote life cycle, but it's, there's no denying it's unbelievably painful.
Yeah. I can tell anyway, obviously, that everything you've been through has shaped your life a lot, but from your perspective, like, do you think it's made a massive difference in the way that you go about your life and your attitude towards it? Because I feel like, I'm guessing one of the reasons why you're so active in your community now is because of what's happened to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you ladies can agree. I mean, when you experience grief, it inevitably changes you somehow. In some shape, it does.
Mm.
For me personally, it just changed my life 100%. 100%. Like I said before, like, I can distinguish my life, how it was before my mother passed away, who was my first major grief loss, and then everything after my mother died. And it changed me in various ways. It changed my outlook. I mean, people say it makes you appreciate life and it makes you recognize that life is short. But it's true. It does. It made me hold my relationships even closer to me. It made my relationships that really mattered to me, and made me hold those relationships in a sacred light and just put in the effort more to check in, to say I love you. I mean, I'm the kind of person where I will randomly just text my friends and be like, I love you. And just making sure nothing is left unsaid, that nothing that's in your heart is left unsaid. So it definitely shifted my life in that regard. It shifted my life in terms of just appreciating what's around me, appreciating that we, not appreciating, but recognizing that we are all here on borrowed time. And every day that goes by, it's kind of a morbid realization, but it's true. We're just one day closer to our death with every day that goes by.
Yeah.
And so that realization has just made me just appreciate everything around me even more. I think the biggest thing I've learned with losing both my parents is it has made me live my life to the fullest. So it made me not waste any more time, not allow my life to be at a standstill. I mean, I sometimes meet people and I consider myself to be a very ambitious, kind of determined person. And I'll meet people and they'll say, my gosh, you know, how do you have this drive? Like, how do you have that passion? And they're trying to figure out what their own passions are and what their own goals are. And I just say, well, losing my parents just did it for me. When you realize you're here on borrowed time, you don't want to waste a second of it. And so it has made me just do all the things I wanted to do, like Australia, you know, going to Australia at the end of the year, which is on my bucket list. So just not waste any time and try to leave everybody I encounter who means a great deal to me, try to always leave them with words of kindness, because you never know what tomorrow can bring. And so it's just opened up my eyes. It just opened up my eyes. And I think in other ways, it also changed me by bringing me closer to my calling. And I do think a great part of my calling now has to do with grief loss. I mean, when you've experienced three major grief losses in different kinds of scenarios, like I have, and I'm in my 30s, I mean, you just have to stop and think, okay, what's the bigger picture with this? What am I really supposed to take away? Like, I've been with three people on their last day on earth. What's the meaning behind that? You know, what is the bigger takeaway from this? So I certainly don't want any of these experiences or the lives these dear loved ones of mine lived, I don't want any of that to be in vain. So it's just, it just made me, I would venture to say, it's made me evolve and mature as a human being and just be more compassionate and more loving as well.
Couldn't agree more, especially like expressing your love to people. I find myself doing that so much more now. Like, I'm always like, oh, I just love you so much, because I never want anybody to feel uncared for and unloved, because you're right, like, you never know when anything could happen.
Yeah, you just don't. And it's funny, because even today I texted my friend and I said, hey, just wanted you to know I love you. And I was just having a moment where I just wanted to say that. And she texted me back and she was like, are you okay? Is everything okay? I was like, no, everything's fine. Don't worry. I really just genuinely wanted to say I love you, because I was feeling it. So,
yeah. It's almost sad though that like people think that something has to be wrong for you to be telling them that you love them.
Yeah,
like,
what absolutely. Is our society? Yeah, yeah, it just happens though. And also because there's, as you know, too, the other side of all this is mental health and mental health awareness. And we're just part of a generation that deals with so much anxiety, with this depression, and the list goes on and on. So we are just part of a day and age where the first automatic thought is everything okay? Instead of, no, I'm just speaking from the heart. You know, I just wanted to say I love you. And that's just part of the generation we are part of right now. But that was pretty funny. But like you said, same here. It's just important for me to not leave anything unsaid. It's just so important for me to speak from the heart. And speaking from the heart doesn't mean that whatever I say is going to be reciprocated, but that's not the point. The point is, for at the end of the day, I want to be the one who's at peace. I want to be able to go to my deathbed when the time comes and be at peace and be able to say, you know what? I may not have had the perfect life, but I tried to do the best I could. I tried to make amends where it was necessary. And I tried to always speak from the heart. And if I can say that on my deathbed, then I'll be glad to go and be reunited with my parents.
That's such a nice way to think about it.
It is.
So what is the work that you do currently in grief support? Because I was going to ask you our hero question, which is, what would you say to someone right now? Like, what advice would you give to someone who's going through right now, like the situation that you've been through and are going through? But is there any, I imagine if you're doing actual grief support, you probably encounter this quite a lot and have to give advice quite often.
Sure. So with the grief support that I do, so it's specifically suicide related. So it's a support group for those who have lost loved ones to suicide. So I didn't lose my parents to suicide, but I did lose somebody else I cared about to suicide. And so it's just a support group where they've lost somebody to suicide, and they just come in and we just surround them with love and light and healing. And we just want to offer them a safe space for them to really open up and to really share whatever's inside their heart. And it's a no judgment kind of zone. And so, what I've really gained from being a facilitator in that group. So I was first a participant. I was a participant for a very long time. And then once I went through my healing journey, I was trained and got certification in certain suicide awareness things. And then I became a facilitator. And so now what I would say to anybody, so to the person who has just experienced a grief loss, what I would say is something that was shared with me is, first of all, be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Take the time for the self-care you need and for the self-love, whichever way that may manifest itself to you. Just take the time to do that. Certainly do not compare your grief to somebody else's grief journey, because we are all going through different grief journeys. And so that can sometimes happen. Like, for example, I'll see people come to the group, the SOS, the Survivors of Suicide group, and they'll look at me and they're like, how can she be where she is now? And she seems to be, quote unquote, okay. And I try to remind them, I am 2 years out from my loss. Whereas, you know, you just experienced this devastating, raw thing. And I've been in your shoes. So certainly don't compare. You know, we all grieve in our own way. We all grieve at our own pace, and we need to be respectful of that. So, and the other thing I would say is, you're not alone. And I know that's cliche, and we hear that a lot, but I think the more we say it, the more we start believing it. So I would just remind them, you are not alone. You're not the first person who has unfortunately experienced this devastating event, and you're not the last person who will experience this devastating event. With grief loss, it's something that will affect us all. There's no way around it. At some point or another, we're all going to be affected by grief loss in life. And I also say, just find an outlet. Find an outlet for your grief, for your emotions. That is so important for the healing journey. We need to have an outlet where we can just let our emotions come out. My friend describes it perfectly. She says, we need an outlet sometimes for that diarrhea of the mouth. So you need to allow your diarrhea of the mouth to come out. You just need to have an outlet. So whether that outlet for you feel comfortable in a group setting, and sometimes people don't, and if you don't, that's okay. Whether that outlet for you is just to have a friend you can talk to, just like both of you ladies have been able to turn to each other and, you know, nurture this beautiful friendship, or whether your outlet is just to go to church and you know, sit down, and or maybe it's journaling. Maybe you're somebody who likes to write. So you just write your emotions and everything you're feeling, but find an outlet that works for you, because it's not a journey that you're meant to do alone. And so just reach out. Do not be afraid to reach out. And it's hard to say this, but it's true. The only way to get to the other side of our grief journey is through it. There's no other way, unfortunately. There's no magic pill that we can just swallow and then we're fine and we're back to normal. It's just through it. And it's hard and it's heavy. I mean, I had to do so much work, especially with my suicide loss. I had to I did a grief program at my church for 3 months where I met with a mentor every week. I had my support group. I had to go to therapy. I had all these different outlets that were healing for me. It's hard work, but you deserve that. You deserve that self-care. Mm-hmm. You need to be gentle with yourself and love yourself too. You deserve that.
Yes, yeah. Powerful.
So powerful. Oh, I'm inspired. I don't know about you, Kat.
I'm feeling inspired.
I love the way that you said be gentle with yourself. Like, I think we need to let ourselves off so often. Don't expect to feel fine. Even after 4 years, I still, you know, I'm still like, why do I still feel like this? But you just have to remember, it's like, you know, we speak to people who are 8, 10, 12 years down the line and still feeling the same. So we're just always going to
Exactly.
And just allow yourself.
Yeah, there's no time stamp on grief.
No.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Mara, for your time at this horrible hour for you. Like, yes.
Not a problem. Thank you so much for having me and, you know, just opening up this conversation and dialogue. I really appreciate it.
We are so happy to meet you.
Everybody that comes on and talks to us, because, you know, I think it's a difficult subject for people to broach, and people just let it all out, which is amazing. So, yeah, we're super grateful.
Well, kudos to you. Kudos to you for all your work.
Oh, thank you, and to you as well. Look at us all doing great things.
Yes.
Big up to us. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's DPC podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have and have found some comfort in the stories that you've heard today.
If you've resonated with anything we've said, have any questions or want to get involved, please do contact us. We're on Instagram. It's at DPC Podcast. You can email us on dpcpodcast@hotmail.com, or we have a contact form on our website, www.dpcpodcast.co.uk.
We have a whole bunch of resources over on our website. More information about dealing with grief, losing a parent, and professionals to contact if you should need it.
Because as Kat so eloquently said in our first podcast, we're not providing healthcare, we're just chatting shit.
If you think this podcast could help someone, then we would love for you to share it.
We upload new podcasts every week, so make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
Loads of love
from Sam
and Kat.
See you next Tuesday.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.